Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. We have this beautiful account from Luke's Gospel, this encounter between this woman, this unnamed woman, and Jesus. Some sources of old used to identify this woman with Mary Magdalene, but who knows? Mary Magdalene is named a verse or two later as accompanying Jesus. It could be her, maybe not. But it doesn't really matter. I think Luke would have mentioned it, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, would have mentioned her name if it were so important for us to know her name. In fact, it's best if we don't know that it's Mary Magdalene, because Mary Magdalene is a saint. She was a sinner, but she is a saint. And that could, in some instances, might lead us to not identify as readily with this woman, because we might think, well, this woman was special in the eyes of the Lord. She had a special destiny. You know, if she was Mary Magdalene, we could argue that, well, she had a special destiny, and that, you know, Jesus would have forgiven her sins anyway because he was going to use her to bring the news of the resurrection to the 11. We always can find excuses to not seek God's mercy, or to feel that we don't deserve God's mercy because of something that we may have done, or because of some inability that we might have to forgive ourselves. We might feel deep regret over something that we did, or profound shame over something. This passage from Luke's Gospel is telling us not to feel this way. We have two things that are set in evidence and that are made clear. Two things that are made absolutely clear and are not left to guesswork. A, that the woman was a sinner, and she was known to be a sinner. And B, that Jesus forgave her her sins. Those two things are made quite obvious. There is nothing left to guesswork. There is nothing implied. It is spelled out. Some people think that she may have been a prostitute. Not terribly likely, because a Pharisee wouldn't have left someone like that in his house. Possibly, maybe a courtesan, you know, maybe a prostitute in the service of King Herod in his court, in which case, perhaps for political reasons, the Pharisees would have turned a blind eye. Who knows? She's a sinner, and that's all we need to know, because we are sinners, and all of us sin in different ways. We may not sin publicly like she did, but we are sinners, and we know ourselves to be sinners. Jesus is merciful, and he forgives sins, and he has the power to forgive sins. What he just said was jarring to the ears of Simon the Pharisee and to his house guests, because for them, you know, for us, Jesus is God, but not for them. They had no knowledge of this, and even if someone had told them, they wouldn't have believed it. They would have just thought, you know, this guy is some upstart. He's full of himself. And who does he think he is? You know, this jumped up carpenter's apprentice. Who does he think he is to forgive sins? That is the province of God alone. Yet the mercy of God has entered into our world in a physical way through the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, in the man Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, 100% God and 100% man, in a way that we don't quite understand. So the grace of God, the love of God, the justice of God, the mercy of God, which trumps all justice, has become incarnate as well. These are no longer abstract concepts or things that we cling to in faith. These are things that we see and that we know and that we can hear and that we can touch and experience in a real, direct, and physical way through the sacraments, through the church that Jesus founded very specifically and very much on purpose, in order to continue the work of the Incarnation and to extend, to expand, and enhance his physical presence among us in all the corners of the world. This is what Jesus has given us. We all know ourselves to be sinners, and we need to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus forgave. He absolved that woman from her sins in a spoken way, in a direct way. When she walked away from Simon's house, she knew herself to be forgiven. There was no doubt. There was no, well, I prayed to God and asked him to forgive my sins, but I really don't know if he forgave me or not. There was none of that. She had a direct encounter with Jesus, who said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." We have that same direct encounter with Jesus Christ in the sacrament of confession. When we go to confession, we know our sins are forgiven. And we must go to confession. We must, if we want to have our sins forgiven. Mortal sins, anyway. Missing Mass on Sunday. Missing Mass on a day of obligation. Violating the Ten Commandments, etc. This is something that we must do. In the last 30, 40 years, there's been this tendency among people, at least among English-speaking Americans, not to go to confession. This is not good. And I don't say it because I'm a priest, I say it because I'm a fellow sinner. And all of us incur the risk of eternal damnation. We need to have our sins forgiven the way that Jesus wants sins to be forgiven. He forgave the sins of this anonymous sinner in a very real and direct way, and he does so with us in the sacrament of reconciliation, penance, confession, whatever you want to call it. This is a great gift and a great manifestation of the mercy of God, the great mercy of God. It has an obvious spiritual benefit in which that we receive the forgiveness of God and we are restored to his grace. That's a beautiful thing. It is the most important thing. But there is an added benefit to it. There is a psychological benefit to it, an emotional benefit. Jesus knows that we are not angels, we are not spirits hovering in the ether. We are human beings, we are immortal souls that are contained in mortal bodies. And everything we do and experience in this world is through the mediation of this physical body and of our senses. He knows this. He knows that the effects of our sin are not only upon our souls, but also upon our minds, upon our nervous system, upon our image of ourselves. And it can distort the notion, that the truth, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we are created in his image and likeness, because we can feel, I am so vile, I have not lived up to the privilege of being a child of God, therefore God must reject me. Perhaps we had a father who rejected us, or a mother who rejected us. And we might project that psychologically unto God. God does not reject any of us, quite the contrary. He wants us back, and he gives everything to us for our benefit. We need to thank God for this grace, and we need to avail ourselves of this grace, of the sacrament of reconciliation. To not have any fear, and I promise you, if any of you come to confession with me, and I'm sure I speak for Father Mendes as well, I'm not going to yell at you or ridicule you or humiliate you. I have no right to do that. I am a great sinner, and God has forgiven great things that I have done, greatly offensive things that I've done. So if you've had a bad experience in the past with some priest, and I have, I can promise you, you won't have that with me. So I would encourage you to avail yourself of the sacrament of reconciliation, to receive God's forgiveness and to receive graces for your soul, but also for your mind, for your peace of mind, for your peace of heart. God bless you.